are really the things, the memories are centering around people, centering around experiences that we've had with those people that we love. One of my most memorable Christmases was when I came back from college for Christmas break, and I don't know, maybe it was my sophomore year as a college student, and my brothers and I went on a camping trip up in the mountains, and it was very, very cold. And I remember just it was brutal. And on the way back, we had a great bonding time as brothers, and on the way back, my brother was driving, and he flipped the Jeep over. He was driving too fast on these dirt roads, and it was muddy, and he flipped the Jeep over, and I remember looking back and seeing my other brother in the back, and I thought, oh, I hope he's okay, and I turned back, and there he was. You know, my memory is that my brothers are still alive after that, and I was thankful for that. But think about, what do you remember from Christmas, and what is Christmas really about? You know, you think about it, and you think about the Christmas season. I hear that the average person over the holiday season gains 6 pounds. Did you know that? If you can believe the billboard along M6. Anybody seen that one? Yeah, the average person gains about 6 pounds. So, you know, try to break the record. I don't know, either way, more than six or less than six, however you want to take that, I don't know. Might want to weigh yourself before Christmas dinner and then afterwards and see where you're at. But at Christmas, you know, we hear a lot about the Christmas spirit. Think about with the Christmas spirit, though, what is the real Christmas spirit? We might want to say, well, it's the spirit of giving because Christ gave. Well, okay, it might be about family, it might be about love, it might be about a lot of things, but what I want to suggest to you tonight is that Christmas, the Christmas spirit is about worship, worshiping Christ. Now, where do I get that? Well, I'm going to read just a couple of passages and just give you some devotional thoughts on these passages tonight, but what I find interesting is that the book of Luke is the gospel that really gives us the most, the fullest detailed description of Christ's birth. It gives way more information about Christ's birth than Matthew and Mark. And if you're reading Mark, it's just like Jesus just dropped out of the sky. There he is. It doesn't tell us anything about his birth. And then John has just a little bit about the preexistence of Christ. But Luke is really the author who gives us the most. And what I find interesting is that in the Gospel of Luke, we have several psalms of praise to God connected to the birth of Christ. I expect psalms to be in the Old Testament. But there are psalms in the New Testament, and they're here in the beginning portions of the book of Luke. And what I want to do is I want you to take a look and just read or just think about and listen to some of the various worship that was given to Jesus at the time of his birth. And let's begin with Mary. Mary receives a vision from Gabriel the angel, and she is blown away. It says that the angel says, you are going to bear a Savior, Messiah. And she is just amazed that this is going to happen. And if you stop and think about it, she really had some questions, didn't she? But she also had some questions of her own, but she also knew that other people were going to have questions of her. And they wouldn't believe the answers. She would say, well, I'm still a virgin. I haven't ever been with a man. And they'd say, yeah, sure. Don't you know where babies come from, right? You know, who are you trying to fool here? And so there she is, and she's wondering, and you know, how is this all going to work out? And what I find interesting is that in each one of these people's lives that we're going to talk about this evening, just briefly, you find the same spirit, and it's the spirit of worship. Now, what I'm going to challenge you to do over Christmas is to get some silence and some solitude between you and the Lord and have some time of worship. It might be 10 minutes. It might be an hour. It might be just a small slot of time that you can set aside to worship. So listen to how Mary responds to the news that she, a virgin, is going to have the Son of God. And Mary said, and she writes a psalm. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. See, what is she saying? She's saying, I know that right now this is not going to look good. But from here on forward, generations to come are going to call me blessed. Do we call Mary blessed? Yes, we do. She was blessed by God to have the Son of God. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. That's her psalm. You want the Christmas spirit? It is a spirit of worship. Give worship to Christ. Give worship to Christ this Christmas. And let's fast forward several months. Might be just a little less than 9 months, because when she wrote her psalm, it was a little after Gabriel showed up. Might have been a month or two after Gabriel showed up. So a number of months later, Jesus is born. And it starts, and it talks about how Jesus was born, and it's just very simple. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. No details. When a baby's born, you know what we do? We say, well, how long? How much does he or she weigh? What's the name? Was it an easy delivery or a hard delivery? We don't know. We don't know anything about that. We don't know if it was an easy delivery, a hard delivery. It was probably not totally easy because it's in a stable. But listen to this. This second praise psalm. And suddenly there was with, Now there were in the same country shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. This is Luke 2:8. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and here's the psalm, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And that's it. And they disappeared. So you've got Mary's praise, her worship, and then you've got the angel's worship. This is the true spirit of Christmas, is worship. Now, one thing that I have to stop and say, I have to believe that angels are not easily impressed. These are mighty beings. These are intelligent beings. These are beings that don't have the limitations that you and I have. And yet, one thing you find about angels is they are always impressed with Jesus. Have you noticed that? Whenever you read about angels in the Bible, they are impressed with Jesus Christ. They are amazed because they saw Jesus in his pre-incarnate glory. And they said, "Jesus, you left heaven to come down for this, for these people, for this world? Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth." I think they're saying, "You guys don't have any idea how good of news this really is." Praise God this Christmas. Worship him. Let your memories be times of praise where you got alone with Christ, and then when you gathered the family around and you worshiped him together and you sang together and you read the scriptures together and you told what you love about Jesus. Let that be your Christmas. Now let's go forward just a little bit. After Jesus is born, after the angels come, this is 8 days later. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus. That's how the Jews did it. They would wait 8 days for a male child, and they would circumcise that child. And at the time of the circumcision, they would give the name. Everybody would be asking, "So what are you going to call him? What's his name?" See, we ask that first thing. People know the name of their child ahead of time, sometimes announce it, and that's okay. But in those days, it was, okay, Dad, what's the name? What are you going to call him? And his name is Jesus. You know what the name Jesus means? It means Savior. It's the New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament name Joshua. Jesus. Savior. Now, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, that is 30 days. So he's circumcised and named at 8 days. And then 30 days after his birth, they're still living in Bethlehem at this time, they go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is about 6 miles away. When the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. In other words, he's the firstborn male, and they had to dedicate him in the temple. So they bring this 30-day-old baby boy, the Son of God, into the temple. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. They did not have enough money, we're told in a parallel account. They did not have enough money to pay for the most expensive and pricey offering. And I should say, it actually says it here, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. They used 2 young pigeons. That tells you that Jesus was born into a poor family. He was not born in any palace. He wasn't born in a nice home. He wasn't born in a home of privilege. They had just enough money to scrape together to buy 2 pigeons to offer. Now we see the third psalm that we're talking about tonight. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now, Simeon, we don't know anything about him, hardly anything. We don't know where he came from. We don't know who his parents were. We don't know what he really did for an occupation. We don't know much about him, but we do know about his character. This man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Isn't that good? They call Jesus the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. There's another term, the Lord's Christ for Jesus. So he came, that's Simeon, by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents had brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took Jesus up in his arms and he blessed God. Now I'm going to read what he said, but stop for a second. The Holy Spirit had told Simeon that before Simeon died, he would see the Messiah. And so he sees Jesus coming in. What do you think his first response is? I just can't believe this. This is amazing. Or maybe he was like the other leaders in Jerusalem at that time. They said, this isn't the one. Or maybe the first thing he said is, I want to give gifts to everybody that I know. Or worship. Just like Mary worshiped. Just like the angels worship. He says this, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. This is another term for Christ, God's salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So Jesus is a light. Do you see a common thread? Everybody who hears about Jesus and is in the know about who he is worships him. They all worship him. The angels, Mary, Simeon. There's a lot that each one of these groups or individuals did not know about Jesus. The angels are still looking into salvation and saying, why did Jesus do that? But they're all worshiping. Now listen to this. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, now look at this, this is a prophecy. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. What does that mean? It means that those who believe in Christ will rise. They will be right with God, and one day they will rise from the dead, and they will be brought into relationship with God through Christ. But many who don't believe, they're going to fall. And then he says, for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. What's he doing? He's prophesying of the death and the crucifixion of Jesus. Remember the guys just singing? What did they sing? It's about the what? The cross. You see, already it's more than the manger. Already Simeon is pointing ahead and saying, Mary, one day there's going to be a sword piercing your heart. You're going to feel the agony of seeing your son on a cross. He doesn't specify a cross, but he says Christ is going to be spoken against, and it's going to hurt you, Mary. But he's filled with praise. Now, the last person. So we've got Mary. We call her song, her psalm. Some people call it the Magnificat. We've got Simeon, or we've got the angels singing with just mighty power, speaking with mighty power the glories of Christ. And then we have Simeon. Now here's another character. Now there was one. She's a lady. What's her name? Say it louder. What? Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. Great age. How old do you think Anna was? She had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. And I think what the text is telling us, I don't think we're supposed to add 7 with 84. I think it's telling us grand total, she's 84 years old. That's the way I interpret that. An 84-year-old lady. She's a widow. And this woman was a widow of 84 years who did not depart from the temple. She lived right there in the temple. Can you imagine living at the temple? She had no one. I take it that she was not just a widow. She probably didn't have any children. She didn't have anybody. So she lived right there on the temple premises. And she served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Anna, she's praising God. She is looking, and she's an 84-year-old widow who really has no one. And here she is. She sees this baby, and she knows this is the Messiah. All these other leaders, where were the rulers? Where were the people in the temple precinct, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees? They were all there in the temple, but they saw this baby come, and it wasn't but an 84-year-old lady and a guy who named Simeon, who's going to die probably before long. These two know who the baby is. And what do? They all worship. They all praise. Anna is, it's just amazing. She prays and she fasts, and you would think, well, she's probably one of these people who's so religious, she's so heavenly minded, she's no earthly good. But that's not Anna. She has a useful godliness. She begins to talk to other people who are expecting Messiah. Is that what you do? You see, when you and I share about Jesus Christ, we are, and when we worship Jesus Christ, we are spreading the light of Jesus Christ. And so what I want us to do is I'd like to have our men come forward at this time. And everybody got a candle, right? If you did not get a candle, please raise your hand. All right. So I'm going to give you a couple of instructions here. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to explain what this is about in a minute, but the guys are going to kind of start getting the candles lit. I have a couple of instructions. Okay, so these guys are going to light the candle that's on the end of each row. And when they do, so they're going to, and Pastor Ted, would you come and give me a hand here? We're going to demonstrate how we'd like you to light these, because we don't want you to get wax on your hand and all of that stuff. So they're going to light your candle, and you're going to take it and just like that, the person next to you. What we don't want you to do is do this, okay? That makes sense? Thank you. You're really good at this. This is a good model. Can you like model this a little more or something? I got to be careful. I'm going to light something on fire. All right, so guys, would you get started lighting? As you're lighting these candles, we're going to be singing Silent Night, but what we want you to stop and think about, will you be a light this Christmas? When you worship Christ, When you don't make it about all the presents and you don't make it about all the family gatherings, you make it about Jesus. You are lighting the candle of worship. And we're asking you to think about that as you sing this song, Silent Night.
Let's sing together, Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds quake at the sign. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hope. Sing alleluia. Christ our Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God. Love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
So you have a candle that's lit. Let this represent worship. Worship this Christmas. When you worship Jesus Christ, you show his light to people around you, and you encourage them to worship him as well. Don't make it about anything but Jesus. Remember we said this morning, think less about Christmas and more about Christ. Let's blow out our candles and have a time of prayer. Father, as we come tonight, we are so thankful that we can sing these songs and know that they are true. Thank you, Lord, for these individuals who model worship. And I pray that we would take their example and go out and model worship as well. That our lips would speak the praises of Jesus. That we would put our thoughts on Jesus and less on all of the trappings. Help us not to be about pleasing ourselves this Christmas, but pleasing you and letting others know about Jesus Christ. Would you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed? And would you, if you see this worship and you want to say, you know what, I want this to be about Christ, would you tell the Lord that? Would you make a plan in your heart about when and how you're going to do that? Maybe it'll be on Christmas Eve when you gather together, or on Christmas Day when you gather together. Maybe it'll be where you just pull off alone for a short time. Maybe it'll be where you pull aside someone that you love and you share the gospel with them. Maybe it will be that instead of giving presents to please people, you'll be stopping and thinking, how can I demonstrate Jesus Christ? Would you tell Christ what you're planning to do this Christmas to worship him? I'll give you just a little bit of time here in silence. Father, in these moments of quiet stillness, we are so thankful for Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would help us to do as Jesus said, to let our light so shine before men that others might see our good works and glorify you in heaven. May it be about you. Father, if there is anyone here who does not know Christ, I pray that they would use this time to receive Jesus by faith and to say that Jesus is not just a Savior, but he's my Savior. And it's in his name that we pray, amen. We'd like to ask everyone as you make your way out of the auditorium, there's a silver tub right by the doors, and you can just drop those candles in there. Merry Christmas, everyone. Enjoy our Lord Jesus Christ this Christmas. You're dismissed.